Welcome to the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
And welcome back, everybody, to the Political Cesspool Radio Program Hour number 2. Here we go. As it happens every week, Keith, we get started and we get to the midway point, and then it's all over before you know it. But time waits for no man. Saturday evening, July 14th, and we're coming to you from Memphis, Tennessee, our flagship radio station here in town, going out to the AM FM affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network and simulcasting online at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Covered a lot of ground the first hour. Got that much and more to cover over the next 2. Keith, I know we got something very important that we got to talk about that appeared in the local paper here, and we're going to do that before Richard Spencer joins us at the halfway point of this hour to discuss and revisit the majority strategy versus Mitt Romney's strategy for electoral victory, whatever that may be. But I know you wanted to wrap up a couple of comments that your article entitled Conservatism Loses Again received.
Well, I've gone over White Dream Chaser and Luke's comments. Now let me turn to Adam. His was slightly critical too, but constructive criticism. He said, why do I adopt the enemy's language? And by this, I suppose he's really referencing mainstream conservatives, because mainstream conservatives are the ones that use this. Specifically, he got on to me about using the red state, blue state dichotomy, and also he got on to me for saying that we're not going to win the Ayatollahs of political correctness. He said, why not say rabbis? Well, first, let's take the easy one. Don't say rabbis, because we don't want to really open ourselves up to being considered anti-Semitic.
You know,
not that we have ever gotten any credit for pulling any punches, and never will, but we're out here to convert people, to win hearts and minds, and newbies have been fed the idea that anything even remotely negative of Jews is proof positive of the darkness of your soul. We avoid that. And furthermore, in reality, Ayatollahs are more pernicious than your average rabbi now. Ayatollahs cut people's heads off for transgressing their standards. Rabbis don't do it. They just cut off your job and your ability to support your family. That's the difference between political correctness and communist totalitarianism. And quite frankly, political correctness is more effective than communist totalitarianism, because that type of communist totalitarian physical cruelty and death engenders an equal reaction from people. People go to arms for that. People can lose their jobs. They can lose their sinecures like John Derbyshire did. All these careerists that want jobs scribbling, you know, they lick their wounds and they say, pretty please, can I come back? That's how, and they can't, of course. So as Sam Francis, Joe Sobran, and numerous other people have found out in the past. So consequently, John, my advice to you is don't even try. You need to understand, you need to embrace your future with the paleoconservative right and stop trying to, get back in with the mainstream, because the mainstream is just not going to embrace you. And that's what, you know, then let's get to red state, blue state. Red state, blue state dichotomy is a real dichotomy. And I think the left did us a favor by throwing us that particular dichotomy. It's basically the North and South. It's the same fissure that's existed in America since 1824. It's the fissure that led to the Civil War. But, of course, America has grown since the Civil War. And consequently, the sphere of Confederate influence and the sphere of Union influence has grown also. Basically, the sphere of Union influence is New England, the Atlantic seaboard, the upper Midwest, and the left coast. And the left coast is not red state America because of the presence of Jews in places like Los Angeles, Hollywood, and San Francisco. On the other hand, the South, the old Confederacy, the border states, with the exception of Maryland, parts of the Midwest, and the interior West, for the most part, except for New Mexico and possibly Colorado, are red state America. Now, why are they red state America? Well, who settled them? Confederate emigres who were looking for better opportunities after Sherman and Grant's scorched earth policy had decimated the South in the Civil War. Somebody has said before that the West is basically the South without a race problem, and it's true. Why do you think all the cowboys in the old Western spoke with a Southern accent? So consequently, you know, I don't care. Red has no negative connotations to me. I don't care if they called communists the Reds. You can call us Red State America. I think it's important to understand that Red states are red states because they deliver electoral votes to Republican candidates in presidential elections. Therefore, why does the Republican hierarchy despise red state Americans, the majority of which are white Gentiles, and refuse to even consider one of them to be the vice presidential candidate? The only people from red state America that they will accept are minorities: Bobby Jindal, Marco Rubio, Condoleezza Rice. It's a wet mitten in our face, and we need to tell them that they can't depend on our votes if they're not going to reward us. And the ultimate reward is to allow our viewpoint to prevail whenever a Republican administration is voted in. So that's all there is to that. Let's move on.
Well, before moving on, we only have about roughly a minute left in this segment. So, Keith, I'm going to ask you to quickly give a sneak peek of what's coming up after the commercial break, and we're going to tear into this with all of our teeth.
Okay. Here's what we've got. We had this article in the left-wing rag of Memphis, the Memphis Flyer, a rant by Ted Rall. He's talking about the school situation here in Memphis, where the suburban cities are trying to create their own unique school systems per city, like Bartlett, where James lives, will have its own school system. Collierville will have its own school system, Germantown. And he's saying that we've got to basically throw everybody together. And here's one of comment that I think is just bone-chilling. He says, of course, true education reform would need to abolish the ability of wealthier parents to opt out of the public school system. That means banning private education and the separate but equal class segregation we see today, particularly in big cities, and integrating 5.3 million kids, just under 10% of the total, in private primary and secondary schools with their local public systems. Decades after forced busing, many students attend schools as racially segregated as those of the Jim Crow era. Okay, let me tell you, this is totalitarianism. This is what the left has in mind for you if they continue to control and go from victory to victory. The next step will be you can't move. You've got to live there, and you've got to submit to letting your children be thrown into the veritable black hole of Calcutta that the Memphis City schools have become, and a lot of other public education alternatives are in America today. You know, other cities, any group with a large group of minorities, you're not going to be able to protect your children from those pernicious influences. This is what they have in store for you, folks. You better start throwing it into high gear, and you better get serious, and you better stop doing the minuet with the mainstream conservatives and get down and take the gloves off with us. There's
more coming from that line of thinking right after this, everybody. Don't go anywhere.
If you want to experience the great outdoors in comfort and style, then you need products from Teton Sports. For any of your camping, hiking, or outdoor needs, Teton Sports has top-of-the-line products for any adventure. Our sturdy and lightweight Wilderness 55 backpack has a built-in rain fly and plenty of compartments and pockets, perfect for hiking the mountains or a weekend camping trip. And our zero-degree sleeping bag features Superloft Elite 4-channel hollow fiber insulation for warmth, as well as right and left side zippers to let you zip two Teton bags together. With an adjustable mummy hood and interior storage pockets, our sleeping bags are the best on the market. Teton Sports is all you need for any outdoor adventure. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman Warehouse, or Wholesale Sports. And next time you're preparing for an adventure, think of Teton Sports.
Are you new to freeze-drying foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. Warriors, you are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. Read about it in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign is a monthly 24-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about life during wartime in the age of Obama. Warriors, keep to date every month. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance, available at newsstands everywhere. This alert is for all you boppers out there in the big city, all you street people with an ear for the action. This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. This is Mercy. Mine will be the last voice you will ever hear. Don't be alarmed.
When the truth is found. Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, everybody. At the tail end of that last segment, Keith was bringing to your attention an article that he pulled from the local alternative newspaper here. It's more liberal than the Daily paper, which is arch liberal, so you can imagine where it goes. But it starts off by saying this: American public education is mirroring American society overall, a tiny island of haves surrounded by a vast ocean of have-nots. It goes on to say, and Keith summed up the end of it all by saying that basically we need to eradicate private schools, private education, and force everyone to go to public schools. So it wasn't enough for liberals when the Brown versus Board of Education decision in 1954 that Keith always goes back to, you know, forcing integration and school busing at the point of a bayonet on an unwilling American population. That wasn't enough for them because the American population created private schools, and that now they pay through the nose to send their kids $10,000 a year to go to kindergarten just to get away from the hell that the public government education system is. So that's not enough for them. They're saying, well, they outfox us. They got away from it. They're willing to pay to get away from it. Now we just have to make private education illegal. And as Keith said, okay, then what? Let's just say that this overzealous, crazy, I mean, truly crazy, crazy isn't a strong enough word, this lunatic liberal, let's just say that this author somehow got his way and eventually America devolved to the point where they did forcibly eradicate private schooling. Then what? It's going to be illegal for you to move to a neighborhood of your choice? Well, this is what they're advocating. I mean, this is the dangers of liberalism. You can never appease them. They can never take enough ground. They keep wanting more and more and more. And we're back to the corner to such an extent now, Keith, I could truly see something like this occurring.
No, you can never underestimate the mendacity of the left. These people are not liberals, they're totalitarians. They want to govern every jot and tittle of your life. They're not. Just think about the trillions of dollars and the draining of white wealth that has been brought about as a result of the Brown decision. And I'm sorry, Luke, the Brown decision was the granddaddy, the beginning, the mustard seed of it all. Think of the trillions of dollars that people have spent. They could ill afford. Think about the wealth that wasn't created to be passed on to subsequent generations because it was all used up paying exorbitant private education expenses. And, of course, the private schools tend to be run by the same type of liberals that run the public schools. They're all educated in the same liberal education schools at public universities and schools. They all listen and read from the same textbooks, listen to the same authors, and absorb by osmosis the same liberal tripe that they do in the public schools. So consequently, they have, unlike the old segregation academies of the White Citizens Council, they have no sympathy whatsoever with the plight of white parents trying to protect their children from what James rightly called the hell that is public education in America, in many parts of America today. Now they want to take that away from you. And what's the other escape mechanism? That's to move one, as Sam Dixon said, one more exit down the expressway to try to find the good public, translation, free school for your kids. Well, they'll get around to cutting off that escape route as well. So consequently, if, you know, liberalism is like Khrushchev was in the early 60s, pounding its shoe on the table saying, we will bury you. They're going to make sure, and, you know, it's not a liberal conservative thing ultimately. It's motivated by anti-white animus. And liberalism that disguises itself as being pro-black, pro-woman, pro-child, pro-homosexual, pro-environment, pro-illegal alien is actually none of those things. It's based entirely on resentment and envy, and that's what you can tell. That's what comes through loud and clear in an article like that, James. These people want to bury us. They're not going to be satisfied until we disappear from the face of the earth. That's what they want. And what they have done through things like the Brown decision is affect our demographics. How do most people react to the integration of the public schools brought about by Brown and its progeny? The way they reacted was, in places like Memphis, they limited the size of their family to the number of children they could afford to send to private school, and usually that was darn few. And as a result, when I was a kid, you used to see families, five, six, seven kids, particularly among Catholics, as a, you know, that wasn't an uncommon occurrence. Now, if you find upper-middle-class people with as many as five kids, they want to do a reality TV show about them, like the Duggars. You know, this is the most incredible thing you've ever seen. In places like Memphis and places like New York, other places, you find this phenomenon that you never heard of before in the history of America called the trophy child, where the family has only one child and they pin all their hopes and aspirations and ambitions on that poor child's back because they don't have other children. They can't be as relaxed about it. This kid has to succeed or else our gene pool is going down the black hole. So consequently, this is what has and this is why whites have gone from being 90% of the U.S. population in 1960 to being approximately 60% of the population today. And by the year 2042 at the latest, we're going to be a minority in the land our forefathers founded. This all came from the Brown decision. Sorry, Luke. Brown is very important. Brown, furthermore, is the exemplar of the supposedly righteous civil rights movement that is celebrated in movies like The Help by mainstream conservatives like Ann Coulter and leftists like Paul Krugman alike. You've got to beard the lion. We're going to beard the lion here at the Political Cesspool. We know what ails America, and we know the cure to it, and you can't cure it by ignoring this festering boil on the body politic called Brown.
Keith Alexander doing what Keith Alexander does the best. But, yeah, again, this article shows that they're not done yet. They do not think that America is sufficiently liberal enough, and they're going to continue to wage war against common sense thinking and the founding stock, the European-American founding stock of this country. And if you oppose them in any way whatsoever, if you said that, you know what, I don't think it's a good idea that we abolish private education, they're going to shut you down as a racist and a bigot and a xenophobe. And that's the only card they have in their deck because God knows common sense And right thinking is not on their side.
And don't forget, a Nazi who wants to kill 6 million Jews. That's the other thing. Now, you know, there are two groups of people that attract their animus like no others. One are Germans. Germans are Nazis. The other group is Southern whites. They are Klansmen, okay? So consequently, Hollywood and Quentin Tarantino are always coming out with movies like Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter or Django or Machete or Pulp Fiction, which basically model how the white Gentiles need to be exterminated. This is how you do it, folks. This is how you kill them. And this is what it is. And you're, when you do it, imagine you're in the movie theater like watching Django or Machete or Abraham Lincoln Vampire Killer, and play in your mind that soundtrack of everybody hooting, hollering, and applauding. See, The Help was really an example. It had a maid giving her, a black maid giving her white mistress a pie made out of fecal matter. And both the whites and the blacks in the movie theater that I was watching cheered it. That shows you the extent to which we've been brainwashed. We've been psychologically conditioned to the extent that white people can be predictably relied upon to cheer at depictions of their own downfall, degradation, and ultimate death.
Keith Alexander's done with us for the evening, punching the clock for about an hour and a half tonight. But the second half of this show is going to feature Richard Spencer in a discussion about the majority strategy. We were at the National Press Club last year and talking about it. You're not going to want to miss Richard. He's coming up right after
Don't
these words. Stay tuned, everybody.
Political cesspool, guys. We'll be back right after these messages.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
For too long now, those whose ancestors carved from a vast wilderness an awe-inspiring extension of Western civilization have been without any semblance of political representation. Abandoned by the political establishment, we now face the prospect of losing our national identity, culture, and our way of life. But there is hope. There is still time to right these wrongs. And there is a vehicle to organize our people into a force capable of reclaiming America's destiny. The American Third Position is that vehicle. It's a political party for our people, led by extraordinary patriots like Bill Johnson, Kevin McDonald, and myself, James Edwards. Our ancestors, from the gates of Vienna to the sands of Iwo Jima, sacrificed their all in order to secure Providence's most precious gift, freedom. Now it's our turn. Learn more at the American Third Position website, American3P.org. That's American, the number 3, the letter P.org. This is the American Third Position, American3P.org.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who bleeds the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Traveler's Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll free at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, folks, I'm really excited about the interview that we have prepared for you now. Richard Spencer back on the show this evening. Of course, Richard Spencer, a man who wears so many hats, former assistant editor at the American Conservatives. American Conservative, executive editor at Talkies Magazine. Richard has also founded AlternativeRight.com, in addition to heading up the National Policy Institute. And it is that last organization that hosted truly what was, in so far in my career, certainly one of the top two or three things that I've ever had the opportunity to participate in. Last year, the National Policy Institute held a press conference entitled The Majority Strategy at the National Press Club in Washington, D.C., and I was honored to have been a speaker there along with Richard and Jared Taylor, and I thought it was important that we revisit the majority strategy in light of a couple of things that Mitt Romney has done over the course of the past week to 10 days. If Mitt Romney does one more thing like this in short order, I'm just going to have to tell him to just go ahead and outright campaign for Obama and save a lot of Republicans their donations. But Richard, before we get into all that, I want to welcome you back to the show, my friend. Always great to have you.
Well, thanks for having me on, James. And I'd like to say that certainly being in Washington was a highlight of my life, too. So we're going to do that again, I promise. And it's going to be even bigger and better than it was a little less than a year ago, I guess.
It was. It was last September. In fact, I can remember vividly remember flying out of Washington, D.C. on September the 11th. So we marked the day with air travel from D.C. So and it was, of course, 10 years since the World Trade Center incident. So, yeah, I remember when it was well, but I remember it even more vividly because of what we did and what we accomplished. And, of course, folks, we talked about that at length on the radio program when it happened, and you should revisit those shows from last September because it was something very profound. But equally profound is the fact, Richard, that the majority strategy is still out there waiting to be adopted by the stupid party. Let's talk a little bit about what the thesis of the majority strategy, as penned by Peter Brimelow and Steve Saylor, is all about, and then we'll get into what Mittens is doing.
Sure. Well, the majority strategy, in essence, is that the Republican Party can win by reaching in to its white majority base on the basis of issues that actually have quite a bit of popularity, despite the fact that they're usually denounced in the media. And those are things like immigration restriction and ending affirmative action. But they should reach in to the white majority base on those policies, as opposed to fruitless, embarrassing outreach to blacks and Hispanics by doing silly things like claiming how much they love diversity or leaking the idea that they're going to nominate Condoleezza Rice. And I'll just mention real quickly, actually, probably the person whose name should be associated with this is actually Sam Francis, who wrote a very interesting book that I encourage your listeners to look up. It's actually a pamphlet. And though it's a little bit dated, it's still worth reading. It's called Ethnopolitics. I think he's really one of the first to put forth these ideas. Steve Saylor has done some yeoman's work. He's written many articles on it, as has Peter Brimelow. Well, but that is the basic idea.
Folks, just to further re-familiarize you with the majority strategy, of course, we talked about this at great length. I actually went so far as to repost the majority strategy. You can view it as a PDF download at thepoliticalcesspool.org and a blog entry from July 13th entitled, appropriately enough, The Majority Strategy. But this is what Richard Spencer writes with regard to the majority strategy. And I quote, "With each new election cycle, the Republican leadership becomes even more convinced that it needs to reach out to Hispanics, blacks, and other minorities, or else risk irrelevance and defeat. The votes of America's historic majority, namely European Christians, are either taken for granted or treated as of lesser value. The reality is that in multicultural America, Hispanics and blacks are exceedingly unlikely to vote Republican, not to mention embrace conservative values. In place of outreach to the unreachable, Republicans would be wise to instead broaden their existing white base. Complementary to this would be a dedication to immigration policies that stem the influx of Democrat-voting third world migrants. The majority strategy, developed mostly by Peter Brimlow and Steve Saylor, and of course, as Richard mentioned, Sam Francis, the late great Sam Francis, is a path to victory for Republicans. It would ensure that they could bequeath to their children a country in keeping with the traditions of their ancestors. So that is basically a teaser of what the majority strategy is all about. And again, ladies and gentlemen, you can view the entire essay for yourself at our website tonight. And also there for you, you will see the entire 1 hour and 36 minute press club press conference featuring Richard, myself, and Jared. So that's all there, the majority strategy. So now that we know a little bit about what we're talking about, let's compare and contrast that to what Mitt Romney is doing. Richard, do the Republicans really want to win, or are they just taking orders and playing the role as the those who sit at the head table are telling them to do?
Well, it's a very complicated issue, James, because in an ironic way, the GOP has been using the majority strategy for victory for some time now. In the sense that I think it's clear, it's certainly clear to the outside world, and it's clear to Democrats, and I think it must even be clear to the stupid party, that the GOP is in essence the white people's party. That those are the people who vote for it, those are the people who not only just vote for it, but might actually embrace and really believe in the things that the GOP claims to stand for, like limited government and morality and things like that. Whether they actually have any interest, the actual Republicans have any interest in, you know, living upstanding lives or pursuing limited government is a totally other question. But you know, I think even they recognize that it's really the middle American white people who actually vote for them. And they must see that because they have been using a majority strategy, even though the fact that they kind of hate it, they feel embarrassed by it or even ashamed by the fact that they have white people as their essential base. But if you just look at what Romney is doing, I mean, I don't understand why anyone would, any strategist would think that he should leak this idea to kind of gin up some interest and get on the news and things like that, that he would nominate Condoleezza Rice as his running mate. Because this is going to, I mean, for a lot of maybe independents or kind of liberal-minded people, sometimes a Republican, this is going to evoke all these horrible memories of the Bush regime and, you know, the Iraq War and all this kind of stuff. This is very unpopular. So it seems to be a bad move in that way. But it's also a bad move in the sense that she doesn't really represent any of these issues that we're talking about that really bring people together in the sense of, you know, let's close down the borders, let's end affirmative action. The idea that Condoleezza Rice would want to end affirmative action, that's ridiculous. She's the biggest affirmative action baby I've ever seen in my life. She's a supposed specialist in Slavic studies, that she doesn't speak any of the languages. I don't know, there's really embarrassing video of her with Russians, and she'll ask for a translator, even though that's her specialty. I mean, she has a PhD. She has a professor of this thing. She doesn't know the very basic aspect. I mean, it's a true, just, I feel embarrassed for her in many ways. But anyway, what you have with Mitt Romney is some, you know, idea that we're going to, let's appeal to blacks or something like this by nominating Condoleezza Rice. I mean, it's just very ham-fisted and embarrassing. Actually, I'll mention, I wonder if even the Republicans, I wonder if they're so stupid that they think that Condoleezza Rice would actually appeal to minorities or non-white people. I think in some ways this might just be a play for moderate white people to kind of say that, look how, you know, open we are. We'll nominate this black lady as our VP or something like that. because I can't even imagine that they are so dumb that they think Annex and Black like Condoleezza Rice. I mean, to the contrary, they hate her, and they probably think of her as some kind of tool of George Bush, and so on and so forth. So anyway, if your listeners have interpreted my words as saying that this Republican Party is kind of evil and stupid, then they have grasped my message.
Very well said, Richard, and I certainly agree with you. But yeah, you know, the Condoleezza Rice thing, since we're on that topic, and we're going to get to Mitt's speech at the NAACP meeting after the commercial break here in just a second. But
right.
You look at the states going back to 2000, well, going back however far you want.
Uh-huh.
Let's just go back to 2000, though. Red state versus blue state, the states that have voted for Republican candidates over the last decade. And you look, and it's obviously the South and the Midwest primarily. And so the Republicans think that the best way to drum up support and enthusiasm from their base is to give you a liberal Republican from the bluest of blue states, Massachusetts, and then a Black woman? I mean, surely.
From Stanford.
They can't be that stupid. All right, but we're going to take a break, and we'll be back with more with Richard Spencer, our featured guest of the night, right after this.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages, American Heritage School in American Fork.
Are you looking for an affordable way to earn your bachelor's degree? Do you want a college experience that's more personal? Then discover your future at America's Transfer College. Students across the U.S. are choosing Ivy Bridge College as a better, smarter way to earn their degree. Thanks to Ivy Bridge's unique program, starting at a two-year college and transferring to finish your degree has never been easier. The program is simple. Start with Ivy Bridge College and take your first 2 years of college online. Transfer to one of over 140 of Ivy Bridge's partner schools and take your upper division courses. Then graduate with your bachelor's degree from the school of your choice. Personal attention, small class sizes, affordable tuition, and a clear pathway to graduation. Start your academic journey and contact us to learn more about Ivy Bridge College today. Call 877-622-2059 or visit americastransfercollege.com to find out more.
A backpack is more than just a bag, it's a statement. Whether you're a student or a professional, are traveling the world or commuting to work, Teton Sports offers a wide variety of backpacks, each of which is lightweight and durable. The book bag backpacks weigh only 1.5 pounds and come in solid pink, blue, red, or black. The session bags have eye-catching designs, adding a touch of style in pink and white or in black. Each is great for kids or adults who need a versatile, resilient, and eye-catching bag. The professional and the executive are sleek, sturdy backpacks with numerous uses. Whether you're hiking in the mountains or packing for an important business trip, these bags have plenty of room. Not only are the backpacks comfortable and lightweight, but they're large enough to fill all your needs. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, duffels, tents, cots, camp pads, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, welcome back. 30 minutes with Richard Spencer is never enough. And as much as we have Richard Spencer on the show, it's not as frequent as it should be. So we want to make full use of the final segment that we have with Richard this evening. And, of course, thanking Richard for taking time out of his Saturday night to join us. Richard, before that break, the GOP, Mitt Romney's camp, floating this trial balloon, gauging the interest in what the support his ticket would have if it featured Condoleezza Rice as his running mate. And, Pat Buchanan said in his debut appearance on this program back in 2006 that the Republican Party is going to become a retirement home for presidential candidates unless they begin to go hunting where the ducks are. And, obviously this is not going to generate any support from the natural base the Republicans have, but let's give them some credit. Blacks aren't going to be fooled by this. I mean, does he really believe that putting Condoleezza Rice on the ticket is going to tip the scales of that 13% of the population to the point where it's going to deliver him states that he would otherwise lose? I mean, that's a preposterous assumption. I mean, why would they want to switch horses midstream? They know their ticket is being punched by the Democratic Party all too well. They have no interest in limited government. They have no interest in giving back affirmative action or set-asides or quotas. I mean, they know who's going to deliver it for them, and they will never vote Republican. I don't care how much you pander. So, so much for the majority strategy, Richard. A final comment on the Condoleezza Rice idea, and then we'll move into the NAACP speech.
Well, sure. I think their image of the party, of the Republican Party, is actually something that you and I will probably find quite attractive. I think they think that James Edwards runs the GOP.
Right, yeah.
Richard Spencer is like an ideologue, and Jared Taylor is like a strategist, and like Adolf Hitler, he's a member or something. I mean, they have some fantastical notion. They think it really is operating on behalf of the white race, but it's not. But it is obviously, it is electing itself on the backs of the white race, so to speak. Just to answer that question directly, though, I don't think that the GOP is that stupid. I think in the sense that they think they're going to win over blacks and, turn the election by nominating Condi. I think most blacks would be scandalized the idea that they're voting for Republicans and might as well be voting for slavery or something like that. I think what it is some, kind of ham-fisted, perhaps, maybe effective means of winning over moderate white people. I think that is what they think it is that they can prove, oh, look, the party, it's not too evangelical Christian and Southern white. No, we're reasonable, tolerant people. Look, we have this smart black woman as the VP. Like, I think that is, that's the target. I think it's basically moderate white. And in that sense, it conceivably might be effective. I actually looked at the Drudge Report, and they had a poll, and it was obviously an unscientific poll, but apparently two-thirds of Drudge Report readers think that it's a great idea. So I guess all these, real diehard GOP boosters think this is good. So, I think that's what it's for. Surely the real Republican strategists aren't that stupid.
Well, but again, how long... And apparently the answer is forever. I mean, it'll never end. But how long do they think they can abuse their conservative base? And I think, obviously there's more people.
Is they'll abuse it as long as they can.
How long are the conservatives? And I think there are more conservatives, people who would claim themselves to be conservatives versus moderates in the Republican Party. How long are they going to take this whipping?
I mean, I'm sorry this sounds cynical. I think they're going to continue to take it until it gets really, really bad. I mean, I think so much of conservative politics in America is a lot of wishful thinking. They want to think that they're part of this party that represents morality and that is also tough, that will take on the terrorists and so on and so forth. It's a kind of identity politics. Based on their wishful thinking about what America could be but isn't. That can go on a long time. I'm sorry if this sounds depressing or something, but I think it has to get extraordinarily bad for white people before they finally realize the truth, which is that the regime, Washington, D.C., the people who really run that regime, take them and want to dispossess them.
Well, you know, the only way...
They're going to be waving their flag.
You know, at this point, how does it get worse? You know,
do you move,
do you just cross that Rubicon from soft totalitarianism into hardcore totalitarianism? But, you know, Richard, he may not, you know, select, obviously, Condi as his running mate. But just the fact that it's a serious possibility, it goes to show you the state of affairs in the GOP. But now let's talk about something he did do. And we have a caller on the line, and I want to try to cover both of these. I want to try to hit this and then get the caller in the next 6 minutes. So it's going to be a robust attempt. But here we go. Mitt Romney offered a direct appeal to black voters last week at the NAACP's annual meeting, saying that blacks have been hit hardest by the economy and that if elected, he will seek to improve the quality of life for blacks. The crowd's reception to Mitt Romney's speech was mixed, so this article reads, with Romney's discussion of his desire to repeal Obamacare receiving sustained boos. He went on to offer in these little nuggets, saying that his dad helped write the civil rights provision for the Michigan Constitution, that his dad created Michigan's first civil rights commission, and that as governor, he marched for civil rights in Detroit, et cetera, et cetera. So Mitt Romney, you know, dismisses Obamacare, but says he's going to work for blacks and that he knows that they are still facing inequalities and that they're getting hit hardest by the economy. And, oh, by the way, my dad was one of your heroes and one of your leaders. And so much for the majority strategy there, Richard. And it seems as though, again, the GOP thinks it's a good allocation of his campaign time to go before a hostile audience that represents the activist elite of a group that's going to vote 98% for Obama. Again, so much for the majority strategy. But your take quickly on Romney's performance at the NAACP?
Well, sure. Real quick, just to be fair to Romney, I mean, he was invited to speak at the NAACP, and, you know, I would go speak before the NAACP if they invited me. You know, so if there are any NAACP members out there, just send me an email and I'll be glad to give them a talk. So, I mean, he basically said Republican talking points before the NAACP. So I actually think we shouldn't make too much about this whole thing, actually. It's not a good use of his time, simply put, because they're never going to vote for him. But I don't think there's, you know, much more needs to be said about that. What was your other question?
All right, well, that was actually it in terms of questions. We have a caller for you, and fair enough on your answer. Caller from all the way up in the hinterland in Maine, Russ from Maine, with a question for Richard Spencer. We have about 2 minutes, Russ, so hit it quickly. Are you there, Russ? Okay, Russ in Maine apparently dropped off the call. Richard, so that 2 minutes falls back to you, my friend. Let's talk quickly. I want to ask you to tell people how they can get in touch with you and your work at the National Policy Institute. Again, coming back full circle to the majority strategy. That's what we were there in Washington promoting at the National Press Club, put on by the National Policy Institute. Give folks that address,
sure.
Richard.
Sure. Well, you can check out everything at npiamerica.org, and you can see watch a video of the press conference, and you can actually also get videos of our conference, which was held just after that, which was, I think, even more interesting. Had many great talks by, you know, Alex Kurtigich and Tom Slosunich and so on and so forth. You can also find a lot of other information, including some reports on things like the majority strategy and other reports like that. You can also check out washsummit.com and kind of see some of the books we publish and things like that. So I guess those are my my plugs. And then I'm not blogging as much as I used to because I'm having to do all this administrative work, but I still do blog at alternativeright.com, which I founded. And actually, I'm going to put up a little blog tonight on this whole Condoleezza Rice affair, which I think will actually be a kind of a surprising take for people. So that will be up momentarily. So hopefully, if you're listening, you can go check that out at alternativeright.com.
It's hard to keep up with Richard Spencer. He's doing so much, but check him out at alternativeright.com. For his take on the Condoleezza Rice situation here. NPI America, was that .org, Richard?
Yes, .org.
NPIAmerica.org. And folks, you can get it there as well, but also, as I said, it's prominently featured at the top of our website right now, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Download the majority strategy and send it out to every Republican elected official you have in your local area. I mean, the local area is impacted by politics the most. That's where we have the most influence, I should say, is in the local area over the politics. So get that, send it out to your friends. It's a great report, and if only common sense would prevail, we could go a long way to turning the tide here on this sinking Titanic. But Richard, thank you so much, buddy, for coming back on the show tonight and addressing these issues with me in light of Mitt Romney's current performances. And we will talk to you again sooner rather than later, I hope.
Yes, thank you, James. I really hope Mitt Romney loses. He deserves to lose.
So do I. Oh, I needed that. With that, that's the end of Richard's time tonight. We do hope Mitt Romney loses too. Well-deserved loss, we hope. All right, everybody. Richard Spencer, NPIAmerica.org. We'll be back with the third and final hour right after this.